We have quite a long reading this morning, perhaps an unusual one as well. But it is part of the instruction that Paul gave to Timothy, and Ron will be speaking from this very shortly. So it's the first letter to Timothy, chapter 5. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. If a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Give the people these instructions so that no one may be open to blame. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the Lord's people, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. As for younger widows, do not put them on such a list, for when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Thus they bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also busybodies who talk nonsense, saying things they ought not to. So I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Some have, in fact, already turned away to follow Satan. If any woman who is a believer has widows in her care, she should continue to help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honour, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For Scripture says, "Do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain," and "The worker deserves his wages." Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. But those elders who are sinning, you are to reprove before everyone, so that the others may take warning. I charge you, in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels, to keep these instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, and do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. Stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. The sins of some are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not obvious cannot remain hidden forever.
So we're looking at future church. I know we've been on it for a while. We've only got one more to go, and next week is the conclusion. And in the conclusion, I want to tell you what happened afterwards as well. What happened to this church that all this writing had been going on. So here's Paul, and in chapter 5, he talks about being a considerate community. The future church will be different, he keeps saying. It's going to be something like us, but not quite the same. It's going to be better. Now, this is what he's got. He wants the future of the church at Ephesus to be more centered on Christ than it is now. And he's not blaming the church and saying you've got it wrong. He's saying there's more to come. There's more to church than that. So he starts with the church as it is, and he sees potential. And I think that's really important for all of us, that we see potential. If you do not see potential, you'll put a cap on what people can do and say and believe and think. And Paul sees this potential in this church, and he says, it can get there, you know. And in order to get there, he maps out this plan. And he's writing to Timothy, and in chapter 1, we saw that his plan starts off with a more loving community. And he went from a more loving community to a more worshipful community in chapter 2. And then he went on to a more aspiring community where we were looking at people wanting to lead, wanting to make a difference, and saying, look, I can do this. And it was grounded in character rather than skills. In chapter 4, he moved on again to a community of appreciative people to be used rightly and be an example in this. God created everything to be good. And then in chapter 4, we sort of took a little break and we looked at your part in this. Four little ways in which Timothy could make a difference himself, so that the future church isn't some grand plan with no one taking part. You get personally involved. Your part in this. And he draws Timothy in and reminds him that he has a part to play. And it won't get there without individuals stepping up and making personal sacrifices. It won't get there on its own. And then in chapter 5, that appreciation moves on to people. A considerate community. Considerate of where people are on their journey. A considerate person takes personal limitations into account. Because you know what happens in a church. We all look round at other people's lives. And we go, they can do it. She can do that. He can do that. Oh, I'm too busy. Oh, I can't. I've got an elderly mother. I've got small children. Whatever it is. We look at other people without their circumstances and think they can do stuff. And we look at ourselves with our circumstances and say, oh, no, I can't. And we excuse ourselves. And what Paul says to Timothy is, the consideration you have for yourself, do it for other people. That person's struggling with their faith. This person has got an elderly aunt that they're taking care of. They can't do that job. That person over there, you know, they're doing great here and here. But we've maxed them out. So we don't want to put any more burdens on them. A considerate person looks at limitations and loves people and says, you're doing enough. And that's what is at the heart of chapter 5. And we know that because he says, God wants you to treat other Christians as family. And in case you treat your family badly, he spells that out. Okay, because I know some of you come from terrible families. Basically, he says this, don't dismiss the older generation. Treat them like you would a father or mother. Mark Twain, when I was 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have him around. When I got to 21, I was astonished at how much he'd learned in 7 years. We do that. Now, this is not a carte blanche for older people to be demanding or to behave badly. Older people need so much grace to help them react to being ignored and sidelined and told you're out of date. So treat them like you would a father or a mother. How would you treat your parents? Now, be considerate. And then he talks about treating your peers like siblings. With absolute purity is added because in the Roman world there are different standards about who you could marry and who you could play around with and so forth. And then he says, look after widows. What James called pure and undefiled religion is to look after widows and orphans. But before it becomes a welfare system to be put upon by every member, attendee, and hanger-on, regardless of need, Paul gives Timothy some guidelines. And then he gives four reasons for people to look after their own elderly parents and not make the church do it. It repays them for looking after you, it says in verse 4. It pleases God, it says in verse 4. By doing it, you're recognizing that God put you in the right family. I know, it's horrible, isn't it? God put you in the right family to get you where you are today. Appreciate what God has done in putting you in that particular family. And you start looking after them. It expresses your faith, it says in verse 8. And it relieves the church so that they can look after the more destitute, it says in verse 16. What's the point of having a faith in the God who restores order and brings harmony to a fallen world if we do not reflect it in our relationships, is what Paul is getting at with Timothy. What's the point of saying it works, but not in my family? So when Paul writes to Timothy, he's writing about real people in real families, some of whom are suffering, and he says, God is a reconciler. Work this one out. God brings people together, overcomes difficulties, never gives up. Live that in your faith. So look after widows. But then he says, give the widows a role. Now you might be asking, what's the list? Did anybody think of that one? What's the list? It sounds like, you know, a Christmas list or a special list. And then you think, well, should we have one as a church? The list. Now, it could be that widows were supported by the church and had to be the right kind of person, but I don't think it was. Okay? You might think, you know, you can have the women, the widows on your list, but they've got to have these kind of characteristics and so forth, so that the church doesn't get a bad name. But if you read the Old Testament, looking after widows and orphans never depended on their character or their attitudes or values or behavior. You looked after widows no matter how cantankerous they were, no matter how bitter they were, because they were widows. It didn't depend on them being nice or being good. It depended on the big-heartedness of God's people. And there's lots of scriptures about this. Psalm 68, God is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, and is whole in his holy dwelling. It doesn't mention, you know, if they're good. Deuteronomy, the part of the law. The Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the alien, giving them food and clothing. You know, losing a loved one is not something that anyone ever intended to do. It's no one's fault except God's, if you like. He decides the when and the where, and it's not because they've been a bad person or because he loves them more than, or less than others. It was just their time. And a widowed person is left behind and asked to cope. And we don't look after widows because they've got to be good or nice, or handle their bereavement well, or praise the Lord because the husband has died, or the wife, the widower. God calls us to look after widows and orphans without qualification in the Old Testament. You've got Deuteronomy 14. You've even got it in the blessings and the cursings. Do not take advantage of a widow or an orphan. If you do and they cry out to me, I will certainly hear their cry. My anger will be aroused and I will kill you with a sword. Your wives will become widows and your children fathers. In other words, you'll get your comeuppance. It doesn't say if they're nice and respectable, we'll do it. And finally, in the cursings, Deuteronomy 27, cursed is the man who withholds justice from the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. Then all the people shall shout, Amen. You get the idea? Widows, widowers have enough on their plate without us judging them. So what was this list of those who were supported by the church? It doesn't say, don't take them onto the list. It says, don't take these people onto the list unless they've got some kind of character. It seems to many commentators, and I agree with them, that some older widows were given a role in the church pastoral care system. Take them onto the list. The qualifications for this list was based on character, like the leadership list. They have to be over 60, faithful when her husband was alive, good deeds done, including bringing up children, showing hospitality, serving people, helping those in trouble. Do you get the feel? You get the kind of feel that the kind of person we're looking for, someone who has been there, done that, and got the T-shirt, and done it with grace and with faith. Let these people be put on this list. Now, this is not for every widow. Your life isn't over when your husband dies or your wife dies. But if you're no longer looking for companionship and you want to devote yourself to the well-being of the church, maybe there's a role for you in the pastoral care system, looking after others. And that's what I think Paul was saying about this list in Ephesus. Don't let anybody come into the pastoral care system, but people who are trustworthy, people who see the church as family, and want a role in bringing this family before God and helping the family to grow. It's that list. And if that's you, then maybe there's a role for you within the pastoral care system of the church, including those who've lost their parents, those who are struggling with children. And you can be part of the system that builds the church up and encourages growth in faith and relieves suffering. Because you don't really want to get married again. You don't really need the companionship. You don't really want to go through all the dating game again. You're too old to have kids. You got to that stage in life where you don't want more kids, or you can't have them. And maybe if you've set the matter in your heart, you say, look, I'd like to be part of the pastoral care system. Now, some of you are too busy. You're looking after your own grandchildren or even great-grandchildren. You're doing the school run. You're doing all sorts of other things. But if you've got a bigger heart than that, you've got more capacity, then this kind of pastoral care is vital in keeping the church sane. Young mums with kids, okay? Older people struggling with their parents, knowing how to handle them because they're so independent. And coming in and helping and encouraging and getting people to look to their faith and relieving their stress. Is that a role for you? Because that's what I think this list was about. You see, God wants every person to have a purpose. For most normal people, should we say, for most people, that can be found in faith and work and family. But for some, God has made that come to an end. And it wasn't your fault. But here you are now, and God is saying, there's a new phase, and I want you to touch lives for me. Now, there are some of you here that will hear this and respond. And there are others who cannot hear it because they still want companionship and so on. And Paul is saying to Timothy, look, don't beat yourself up over this. If you still long for that kind of relationship, go and get it. God's put that desire in your heart. But if you don't long for it, and there's another desire in your heart to serve God, here's a way of doing it so that you can be included in the family of the church and you can contribute to the family of the church. And that's what Paul is saying when he writes to Timothy about this list. It's no mystery. He's saying if you want to be put on this list, it involves a pledge that you will carry out this work and not go seeking some other things. And he mentions a pledge in there. It's to be taken seriously, this work. It's not something, oh, I'll do pastoral care this week. Oh, no, I'm busy doing something else next week. I am going to get myself committed to the family of the church on this list. And it's a dedication. And this is what Paul is saying to Timothy. Don't put widows on this list who just want a little bit of support, a little bit of comfort, a little bit of gossip going around the houses and so on. These are serious people who want the mind of Christ in every family. The list wasn't just those who were supported by the church. Otherwise, it would include if they have no relatives. So most normal people were in this. Don't beat yourself up. For the bereaved, the widows who could be starting a new family or being devoted to God's family, he says, depends how young you feel. It really does. In those days, widowhood happened far more at a younger age. And if your partner died, well, you're free to marry again. And frequently people did. It's okay. That's fine. God has put those kind of desires in you as well. He made you in his image to be part of a community, maybe a community of a family. So don't think you're being unspiritual if you're still wanting those kind of things. And then he goes for the bereaved. And he says, look, I wish you were like I was. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians. I wish you were like I was. 1 Corinthians 7. We think Paul was possibly widowed at a younger age. And he didn't want to be married again. And he'd settled it in his heart and he devoted himself to building the church west of Jerusalem. Not everyone's like that. For some of us, the desire for family is really strong. And Paul says, each person has their gift from God. So this is not looking at each other and saying, you could do that, you could do that, you'd be good at this. It's what is in the heart of the person. Has God put a heart for building the church as a family into you? And will you listen to that? And if he hasn't, what kind of heart has he put into you? Well, listen to that so that God might receive glory from you and not guilt. I should have done this. I could have done that. I ought to have done something else. God doesn't work with guilt. He gets rid of it And he brings us together and asks us for a contribution of joy. And this is what this list is about. Those who are willing to pledge themselves to say, you know what, I'm going to do this. This is my heart. Now, Timothy was sent to Ephesus, and they appointed some elders, and the elders were there to appoint a rabbi, usually. That's what the elders were. In verse 17, it's about elders, not just older people. He deals with the elders. And he says, appreciate the elders who give wise counsel. Don't toss them aside because you have a leadership team ready to take on the world. If people moan about the elders, don't listen. But if there's a complaint and the substance to it, then a public figure, public calling to accounting. The impression you get is that God does not have a scrap heap. So you're not too old. If you're sucking air, it's because God has a purpose yet to be fulfilled in you. No matter how old you are. For some, it's to be cared for by the church so that you can tell the people around you, the church has loved me. The church has supported me. I thank God for the church. I've been visited in hospital. I've been supplied with meals. I've been visited in my home. I've been thought about. I've been prayed for. I have not been forgotten. There is your testimony of how the church has served you, not how you feel guilty about not being able to do stuff. You can contribute to the church by your testimony about it. And it's been great to hear those testimonies. People have been in hospitals. People have visited me. I've had meals for the family. I've had this. I've had that. Well done, church. Fantastic job. I've been prayed for. I've been going through a difficult time. And I know there are people there saying, what can I do? And I just thank God for the church. God's mechanism to deal with my difficulties. So your contribution is not always to do stuff for the church. It may be to tell people what the church has done for you. This is a considerate community. As long as you're on this earth, you have a purpose to fulfill, however old you may be. You see, God wants you to take your role seriously. And that's true of elders, it's true of widows, it's true of Timothy the leader, who says, don't show partiality to any group, not the team, not the widows, not the elders, not your friends, not your family. Stay consistent with what God wants you to do. Don't go for obvious answers, he says. Lay hands suddenly on no one is a way of saying be cautious. Tim, don't go by what they say they will do. Go by what they have already done. And then he says to him, keep your standards high. Don't let them drag you down to their level. And then finally, and I think this is really important for serious Christians, lighten up on yourself. Don't beat yourself up. Don't go into that regime where you are so encased, you forget to laugh. Or as Timothy was doing, he was so bothered about alcohol. He was drinking dirty water. And Paul says, lighten up. Take a little wine for your stomach's sake. He's not saying get drunk. He's saying, look after your body. And that's not an excuse to go have a bottle at lunchtime, by the way, okay? Lighten up on yourself. Dysentery is not helpful to you being a leader. Can you get the idea in this chapter that we're talking about other people as real people? Not straw men. People with their own problems, their own difficulties, their own hardships. Be considerate in asking them to do things, in supporting you. God wants us to be a considerate people. To appreciate people, not only because of their gifts and talents and what they can offer, but as individuals made in the image of God and at a point in their journey of faith and with their limitations. And I think if you take nothing else away, just remember this. Appreciating people is one thing. Appreciating people with their limitations is what you are called to do in Christ. And then I think you'll be more generous. Then I think you'll be more loving. And then I think we'll get the kind of church that Jesus cheers. And we will be bold. And we will stand up for Christ. And people will see Christ in us. Not because we can point a finger and say, they can do it. Because we can point a finger and say, there's someone who's had trouble. There's someone who does a brilliant job just in promoting the church to their friends and neighbors when they're in difficulty. You know when you're there. Because you will stop calling it the church. And you start calling it my church. My church loves me. And I love my church. And Jesus will go, you've got it. At last. Should we pray together? Lord, we want a church that glorifies Christ in every way. Help us to see people as you see them. Help us to consider each other. No matter what age. Help us to consider ourselves. That we might be that church that Jesus celebrates.